So that's a very important conversation to have. How significant is the change that John Mahama has made to the sports ministry by now merging it with recreation and taking youth away from it? We'll talk about that conversation here on the show. We'll also delve into the last round of the Ghana Premier League first round matches. This week will be the last time the teams will play in the first round, and it will be quite an interesting brand of football that will be played all across the country. We'll look at some of the fixtures, where to keep eyeballs on as we continue to shine and put a spotlight on the Ghana Premier League, as we like to do here quite often on this channel and across all the Joy Sports channels, of course. But we've also got a lot to cover in terms of foreign sports. The Premier League, Chelsea's slump. What's going on with them? One win in the last six. Maresca has gone through this spell before, hasn't it? At Leicester City last season. What's going on? Liverpool themselves are also kind of struggling. Three matches now, no win for them. What's going on as far as they are concerned? And United somehow seem to have rediscovered their form. What a hat-trick yesterday from Amad Diallo. Kamaldeen Suleiman is also back. He had a good game yesterday. Eventually, Southampton still lost. But he scored a first goal in over 15 months for them last week. Followed that up with a very impressive performance against Manchester United. Is that reason for us to be excited? That's all to come. Real Madrid themselves are also struggling here and there. Back-to-back, they've been absolutely bashed by Barcelona. What's going on with Carlo Ancelotti's team and why are they struggling? So we've got a lot to cover from now till 3 p.m. Show proudly brought to you by Betway and also Patrosol. You can get in touch with us. It's live and interactive on all social media platforms. On X, get in touch with us. Use the hashtag GamePlan. And also on Facebook, you're streaming there with video. On YouTube, we're streaming on the 99.7 Joe FM YouTube handle as well. So, and then there's WhatsApp, where you can send us your messages and your thoughts on all the things we'll be talking about. 055-111-1997. 055-111-1997. You can get in touch with us with all your thoughts as far as that and everything else we'll be talking about is concerned here on the show. The guys are seated. Sitchofer, Philip Achirim is here.
Welcome.
Guys, I miss you guys, man.
Yeah, welcome back to the crib.
I miss everybody.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you see the stupid glasses Danny K came into the studio with?
Ah. Why are you calling me stupid?
Because he can't wear them. He's removed them, put them on the table. Because he's not used to. Do you take out your glasses and put them, dump them somewhere on the table?
No.
Thank you.
He's wearing it now. He's proving you wrong. the glasses will take sports zone.
The swag is
take sports zone, sir.
The swag is paying you.
Karim has something to tell him.
Apu, Karim, can you swag up like this? What are you talking about, man? My goodness,
they look nice.
I know. Why am I wearing it?
He bought it at the front of Joy FM, man.
Look at this guy, pa.
How did he see Daniki?
At the shock.
But the Nigerian woman who sells the glasses for 25 cedis.
I don't even know her. The fact that you know her and you know the prices.
Yeah, yeah, you are wearing some.
That means you be customer.
And you are wearing some.
And that's what you got yours, eh?
You know the woman nationality. There's a woman there.
You know the nationality.
You know the prices.
That's where you got yours from.
You be customer.
And that's how much yours cost.
I buy screen protector from her.
Nice frames.
Screen protector.
Now you've confirmed you buy from her.
Of course.
That's all we need.
Why
Thank
not?
You.
If
Thank
I
you very
need
much.
If I need screen protector, I'll go to her. If I need phone cover.
But how do you know the price of the sunglasses and other glasses?
I asked him. I told him that Danny K might be interested.
Or while you're buying your protector, somebody was asking. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the assist. Danny K, this week has been a busy week for you. You interviewed Joseph Pinsel.
Yeah, JP.
JP.
No, try for play one of the
On
song.
A very good day.
Yeah, JP.
The day the interview happened was a very good day.
Yeah, a very good day.
You spoke to him about his music career. We'll talk about the rest of the day.
Are we not here to discuss work?
But why? This is not work.
Ah, no, no, you said the rest of the day. It is work we are here to discuss.
Yeah, but on the day, on that day,
you think your listeners care about what the rest of you do?
Keep quiet. What are you talking about? Actually, keep quiet. Don't mind. Keep quiet. Keep quiet over there.
Hey.
Does this song ring a bell?
For there. What a way to start the show. Listen, so what? He said his next project is when?
So, he, in fact, the day of the interview, I just come back from a video shoot with Bisakedi. Yeah, they'll release it very soon. And the day before, he was with Kwaku Flick. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hard on.
The guy is working.
Yeah.
He
said he sent pa Satawale there some beats. Yeah, Satawale said he shouldn't worry. That he will send
put some verse inside.
Quick.
I'm sure bonus number, but he's trying. Did it come out of the mic?
This is a Uno Shada.
No, but like the song is good.
The song is good.
And the reports from Danny Kay too is top.
Top notch.
Yeah, yeah,
top notch.
Yeah, correct. Danny Kay's poor there.
Yeah. Music and football, so they've always had a very you know.
Yeah.
Not just football actually, music and sports, and right? Sports, two art forms that have always, you know, overlapped over the years, whether it's boxing, music.
Yep.
Football music, basketball music. Basketball is literally hip hop culture.
Yeah, hip hop culture.
Right. So 100%. I think sports has always been
In fact, when I was scripting the intro, I remembered you did this piece.
I did
the Pele something.
Music.
Yeah.
One of the best things I've ever written.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun writing it. And I was with Achutamoklo when the idea came. He's smiling.
Oh, I remember the other.
You know, we were just he hadn't come to Accra yet.
Oh, fence.
I'll tell the whole story. I said, like, he hadn't moved to Accra yet. Because this piece was written when? I think 2020,
I think.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on a second.
Yeah, it was 2020. It was COVID time.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, so it was, you know, it was one of those things. And then I think we were just hanging out at my place, and then we're listening to music. It was actually a Stone Boy song, the Mighty Lily song.
Yeah.
Then he said something Stone like Abedi Pele in the 90s. That's right.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is not the first time I've heard Abedi Pele's name in a song. So it's actually quite popular. And Abedi is actually quite popular in Ghanaian music terms. So I started to research, then another song came to mind, and then another one, and then I started to put them together. Then I started to write the piece. The piece is actually called Abedi Pele, When Libretto Meets Football Mystic, and right there. It's published on City. May 26, 2020. Yeah. COVID. It makes you innovative.
Yeah.
So you're right. You know, and I made references to a lot of these other, you know, combination of music and sports coming together. And you're right. So I hope his music career does work out. But even if it doesn't, like in the case of Asamoah Gyan, it still gave us like
some
timeless
nice hits.
Yeah. Asamoah's music card, did
it? No, it didn't work out. Jam will be the first to tell you.
It's not like it didn't work out. It gave us, after one hit, he was tired.
He gave us two.
Two hits.
No, well, hits. The other one, he was featured. He wasn't his.
Two is enough.
Yeah, Odopa.
He wasn't featured.
Odopa, he was featured.
No, the African girls. It's Castro and Asamoah.
Yes, what I said the other one.
Ah, okay.
So Odopa, no, he was featured, right?
Yeah, it was featured. That's Castro's song.
Yeah.
It
was
featured. Linda, Barbara, Monica, Jessica. Tell me, baby. Don't make me too much.
And then there's this one he did with Stone Boy. I think Dirty Enemies.
Yeah. Who?
Dirty Enemies.
You did. As someone, you did one with.
Yeah.
Ewulemonko.
Okay. Anyway, guys, let's move it on.
Better listen to what I say. Enemies of God. That'll be the track. Linda, Mama, Monica, Jessica, Mama, come on,
Muyobo. Ministry of Sports and Recreation is what we have now. Earlier today, a list came out with Kofi Adams' name on it. Apparently, it's fake. The whole list is fake. But it's still looking increasingly likely that Kofi Adams will become sports minister. So the question, therefore, is what will be the preoccupation of the new sports and recreation minister? And for those of you who don't understand, what is the recreational aspect of the sports ministry bringing? Or what is it? Because I think a lot of people ask that question. What is the recreational bit of the sports that is now so significant that it had to be named as part of the sports ministry? Because when youth was part of the sports ministry, there were several authorities under the youth category of the sports and youth ministry or youth and sports ministry. There was a national youth authority under that youth and sports ministry. There was a youth employment agency under the same youth and sports ministry. With recreation coming to add to the sports ministry, what agencies existing or new will function under this sports and recreation ministry? And how much will sports take away from it? Because I'm not going to say how much will that take away from sports, because we know when the youth and sports ministry was combined, sports literally took everything away from youth. That is what it did. And under sports, it was football. Then under football, it was Black Stars. That took all of the attention, all of the money. Black Stars,
it was the GFE. And under the GFE, it was Mr. Kato Kreku.
You're adding more layers.
Oh, yeah, it ended with him.
But Sicho, what do you understand about this recreation? So well, fan clubs,
not necessarily.
Oh yeah,
I think
sports, like dance, keep fake clubs,
not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily.
I don't. You're asking me a question. I'm asking, you're telling me not necessarily. Then answer yourself.
Fuck this guy.
I don't like the answer.
You don't agree with me, but you can't tell me to
side with
keep fit claps are parts. Okay, you say non necessarily.
Okay, they finish you.
It's not what do I understand by it.
Okay, go on.
And I'm telling you, I said not necessarily.
Okay.
Fantastic. Right. No, I think, look, sports in itself is a recreation.
Yes.
Sports in
itself. That became a business.
But it didn't leave out the recreational part of it. In fact, it is the recreational part of the sport that has drawn the money in more. Right, so for instance, there is a reason why people would pay top dollar to go and see maybe a World Cup final, a Champions League game, a basketball game, because aside the activity that happens on the court, on the field, in the yard, there are extra things around it that gives people the fun. So we had the World Cup, and when I was watching the game, apart from 90 minutes we saw on the pitch, there was so much happening in and around the stadium, right? The recreational part of it, which has then become the business. It is why now football, when people build football stadia, they are adding some super boots that people can pay money and then go in and watch the same football you would watch in the ordinary seat, but they'll still have an extra fan of it, right? So I'm thinking is that, yes, we are playing the sports. Yes, we are doing the sports. But the recreational aspect of the sport has been left out. And it is the recreational aspect of the sport for most of the time that has drawn the business in. And that is why people elsewhere don't get tired of going to the same venues every other week. Because they go there to have a recreational activity that they can't get anywhere, or they will not otherwise go get anywhere. I think that when we had sports and youth and sports, at the time we had it, it made sense to me, because my thinking is a lot of youth playing the sports anyway. So while you're taking care of sports, you're taking care of the youth. But what I've now come to, if you like, think through, is that youth in itself, it's huge. Because
very broad.
So broad, because when you merge sports and youth, from some of the youth, they don't need the sports. They need jobs. They need opportunities. They want scholarship to go to school. There are so many things they want to do, the youth want to do, right? So when you add that to sports, and sports begin to eat away what the youth really want, then the purpose is defeated. So I think that recreation and sports can be separated. So once you've merged it, it is now possible that the sector ministry that oversees the two are going to go hand in hand with it. So if Ghana is building a sports facility, we are not only building it for the fan, or for we are not only building it for the games it will host, but we are looking at the recreational part of it. For example, when we had the opportunity of building the Botema sports complex, as it stands, it's only a sports complex. Like, there isn't much happening around it.
Yeah.
There aren't parks where families can go sit in the parks. There aren't playgrounds where people, like, it's just the sports facility that is there. But when you go to other places, and I was in Russia last year, for every stadium or for every sporting facility I visited, the recreation around it was huge. Like, we could have the whole of half of East Legon. The football stadium is only a fraction of it. There are several other things happening around it, which is what? Business. So I think that is where the current government is looking at. That sports is there, but we shouldn't lose sight of the recreation that makes sports a business. And that is what all the other developed countries did. They moved from playing just the sports to add recreation to it. We drew in investments. We drew in eyeballs. We drew in interest. I tell you what, there are people who go to game venues who are not necessarily NBA fans.
Yeah.
They are not baseball fans. They are not football fanatics. But the extra buzz around it keeps them there and want them to go. And that is where I think the whole idea is going. So yeah, it might not necessarily be these kid fit clubs. It's about how you situate the sports around the recreations that can attract business and many other things. And maybe then the youth, as we've spoken about it, which is very broad, can properly take care of itself. Where, yeah, we are pushing some people from the youth to sports, we are pushing people into business, putting people into schools, getting employment for people, and all of that. So yeah, I think sports and recreation works for me.
Okay, Sicho, thank you. Listen, somebody said, I don't understand how people come up with these things. He said, Fent, you don't understand the... Oh, give me my mouse. Is that or open for me? Is that fact? You don't understand the recreational aspect of the ministry. It is boring, so you can marry a fellow sports partner and give birth. That way, your offspring will be better at sports than you were. If you don't understand, I'm in my house. Come and beat me,
Bright.
Thank you, Bright. But I don't think that's what it is. But Sicho has given a very, very good explanation for why the two marry very well. And that in the first place, it shouldn't have been separated. Mm-hmm. That sports and recreation literally go together. That's the point he's made.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fantastic point. The reason I mentioned the Keep Fit Clubs was that it's also a healthy aspect, there's also a health aspect to it, because beyond the business bit, beyond the recreational bit, there's also a health benefit to participation in sports.
Yep.
And we need to systematize that participation. Mm-hmm. So to systematize that participation would be to regularize a lot of these things, these Keep Fit Clubs, and bring them under a certain umbrella. As it stands now, there is no single regulatory body for these activities.
Yeah.
For Keep Fit Clubs, or let's say a national Keep Fit exercise. Or I think the former sports minister tried to do something like that. It was monthly, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes, and it didn't work. They didn't sustain it. We need to systematize something like that and ensure that the participation is also not just made a voluntary thing, but something that is encouraged. Because a healthy nation, I mean, it may sound dumb, but a healthy nation, it really is a wealthy nation. And I think that
it's truly very, very dumb. But
yeah.
It's truly very dumb.
But it may sound dumb to say,
we'll give you a bar.
No,
like, you now brought the caveat to it. As you talk, we are saying about
it. It's a cliche.
I get it, yeah.
You know, but I attended a workshop about non-communicable diseases, NCDs. And sports was mentioned as one of the biggest contributors to curbing that problem.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, so the sports ministry, now with recreation added, I hope that they can come up with some regulation that systematizes all of these keep fit clubs, all of these regional district level participation in sporting activity, so that we create a nation that exercises.
Yeah.
And I think the sports community has a role to play in that. And for me, I feel like that is a major reason the recreational bit is now added to the sports ministry as well as what you just said.
To add to something that Sitcho mentioned.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the most modern sports facilities in the world now. Each of them was built with a recreational center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as we speak, the biggest surfing center in Europe is at the Wanda Metropolitano. It is all year round, right? It is all, like, that is across the multiple seasons in the year.
Yeah.
All year round. Now, it uses the wave garden technology to create artificial waves for surfing. That's how come it is all year round. The waves range in size and power from 0.5 meters to 2 meters and is suitable for all levels. This isn't unique to them. Like, it is the surfing park that theirs is the biggest across Europe and, in fact, throughout the world. All of the, any major stadium that has it, there's none that is, that comes close to Atleticos. If you check out the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, they have an elite Formula One drive go-kart center.
Exactly.
That they make money from. However, all of these are futuristic concepts. So when we have built the sports sector and have created a value for money economy within the sports sector that people can actually service. And mind you, we always say that the football economy, the sports economy, is not an island on its own. It's an offshoot of the broader national economy. Because when you do these things and people do not have money to come and experience them, you've wasted an investment. When you do these things, or to even be in the position to do it, the clubs who own these facilities, the states that is able to build these facilities has to have money, which means your sports sector has to thrive. The base of it was what you started from, the issue of regulation and compliance. As we speak, there are no proper standards for running sports in this country. So when we are talking about what should a football academy look like, until a few years ago, a lot of people did not even know that some of the most profitable football academies, and they are the name, the very names that you are thinking of, they are listed as NGOs because they found a lacuna in the law that that protects them from having to pay the taxes that allows them to avoid paying taxes that if they were a properly running business and so defined, they would have paid. So what you need to do is move to a point where you are able to introduce regulation that boxes all of these agencies. But first, define what a football academy is. Define what a boxing club is. Define what an athletic sprinter, all of these things. You set the standards for all of them so that you have direct influence in the kind of athletes you produce. Look, footballers, boxers, any kind of athletes you think of, they are products. The world over, in the way and manner that others determine the sort of products that they want. And here's the thing. For markets like ours, we are controlled and directed by those who pay for the talent we produce here. That is why the construct of the central midfielder that you knew 30, 25 years ago is not the same as the central midfielder that we are producing today. Because today, a lot of our coaches are training them to meet the demands of the European markets, of the American markets. Wherever the clubs that pay the money are, the needs or the profile of players that they want are the kinds that we are trying to train here. Moreover, and more worryingly, you have all of these wannabe Pep Guardiola's, wannabe Mourinho, who are grooming players and are coaching based on the principles of all of these rights. And it's not just in football. It's in athletics. It's in boxing. But it is something, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but by and large, you are producing players who are not, for want of a better expression, a depiction of what you used to have. So to circle back to, if you're able to standardize and find your own way of training all of these from the boxing instructors, right, athletics coaches, football coaches, and all of that, it is from that point that you can have a proper sports sector. Yeah. Because
not to even catch you, actually. Let me just ask you this simple question.
Yeah.
Of the 42 sporting disciplines that the NSA has registered, 43 now. Which one is the latest one?
Slapping is the easy part of Ghana. Slapping country.
How many of them can you genuinely say Ghana is competitive in?
No.
No. How many? No. I'll say less than 10.
No.
You two, what is Ghana? Ghana is not competitive in football. We are not competitive in boxing. We are not competitive in athletics.
You introduce competitive. That's why I said no.
Hold on. Uh-huh. By competitive, I'm putting into account, taking into account every other historical context as well. So not just now. So I'm saying
now he's qualified.
No, he's qualified.
The first three,
some of them are 5 years old. 2 years old.
So the point I'm putting across is
is what Achu just said, the standardization. Because I think that the new sports and recreation minister has to properly categorize these sports.
Yeah.
Because some of them should be considered recreational.
Yeah.
So that things like surfing or things like rollerblading or things like ice skating, because somebody's coming to put out an ice skating rink here. So things like those ones have to be considered recreational, encourage children participation, adult participation in a lot of these, not necessarily geared towards winning trophy. Even, you know, so I think it's very important.
No, because and we need to open when you do that, then you're able to determine who can access your funds.
Yes.
So you say you are going to do a central sports fund, right? Even if it is 5 cities that you have to share, it is the more reason why you can't give money to everyone.
Yes. So that has to be done. I agree with you 100%. Daniel, you wanted to add something? Muftau is also here. Muftau, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are involved in a pending investigation. We'll deal with that one.
He has to appear before Ora.
Yeah, you have to appear before Ora. Choice first Ora.
I see.
But, Fent,
yes.
A quick one. For me, my understanding, the fundamental premise is the same, that the two can be separated. Yes. Sports and recreation can be separated. Yes. But my understanding when I read it was, the actors of the various sports, they are the ones involved in the business. The ones who patronize it are the ones involved in the recreation. Because if I take my family to a football game, it's an act of recreation.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what brings the money. That's the business side.
That's what Sicho said.
Exactly. So if we remove the I don't see it in terms of
the other,
like build other, let's say the F1 thing or the surfing thing at the stadium. No. We've had a fundamental problem with attracting or marketing our sports in order to attract people who patronize the sports and then bring money.
We've neglected the patrons.
The patrons.
Yes.
So we are just running the business. And I think with fusing the two or bringing back the realization that we need to fuse the two together, I think that, and that's how I saw it, I think that the new ministry is going to try and reposition sports in a way to make it marketable and make it enjoyable
again, a lifestyle,
so that people will begin to patronize it, and so that it can actually, it will not be a failing business like what they are doing now. It will actually start getting benefits, because for me that's the recreational part. We all turn on our TV and watch football over the weekend and watch athletics and watch tennis. It's also an act of recreation. But if we now start taking money and going to Accra Sports Stadium because they've repositioned sport or football in that way, they've repositioned boxing in that way, made it more attractive for us to actually take money and go to these various stadiums, pay money and go and watch with our family, enjoy the experience and come back. We are involved in the act of recreation. The people in the sport, the players, the coaches, the actors, they are the ones running the business. So if you marry the two, then it will start making benefits. So that's how I see it. And I think that's what should be. That is actually what should be. We can't leave one, and because they've been running the business, and it's not working.
In fact, what you said about the you know, the Kifle Club and a healthy nation and all of that. I mean, it's very much, it's not out of place. You,
yeah.
Saudi Arabia, one of the reasons why they went rogue in trying to use not only football, but sport. People think it's only football, but look at the number of sports. Boxing bouts that have attracted.
WWE, tennis,
Formula One.
Boxing has even dominated more than football.
Yeah, more than the football. Top bouts are going there. Formula One. We've seen golf. The live golf also happening there. A lot of sports. Mm-hmm. UFC have gone there. Yes. You know, so, and one of the things they said was that when they looked at their citizenry, about 65% of them, or 70% of them were obese.
Overweight, yeah.
Will be so. What they're trying to do is to use sports to influence the next generation.
Yes,
the current generation, they are said that they
change their lifestyle.
So they are trying to use sport now to influence the thinking of the next generation, so that they are a lot more involved in sports. Even on the street, being playing at a professional level, but casually you are playing tennis. Casually you are doing something. Casually you are, so that they have a healthy nation. So I think, and all of those things will be recreational. As I said, like you can go to a place. And you have the recreational, and you mentioned it. Some of these sports that are in Ghana should be recreational.
Yeah.
So you can go to a place and you go and do bowling.
Yes.
You can go into a place and go
all
and
of those ones all have to come and
die. We can have those things. So yeah, I think it's perfect.
Siju, you said what percentage of the
like 65
of the Saudis?
Yeah,
I never see Obolo Saudi before.
So that's a real small.
But what I really want to see, if I see it. Problem, big problem.
No, but it's real. Have you ever seen an Obolo Saudi before?
Yeah, they're obese.
Yeah. Be so easy.
That's why I say no one talking.
Yeah. You see the thing. Anyway, so interesting conversation. But guys, let me hear from you. 0551111997. Your own thoughts on this recreational aspect of the sports ministry, what they should focus on. I really am interested in your own thoughts on what they should focus on. Very important. For me, they have to organize, weekly keep fit, whatever, so that people can go and choose your local. Like you are walking, like when you go on there, you see, then we'll turn our sports zone, right? I also start doing Kwabena Yabo things. Then we'll show Lime and Spoon. Then we'll show... They will show sacres.
Even they should reposition that Suluku that they do at this thing.
Which one?
Oku Vanderpoel's area. No?
Yes. Ablekuma. This one.
Charlie.
Which one? You want to cover election day? You are coming to ask us.
Side, no. They shoot some Suluku there. Some guy will take speaker. Then he's on this thing.
On the street.
They're moving.
Yeah.
Then they are paying. Then you say something. Then the crowd.
So all the people.
It's a sport. It's a sport.
All the people who are tipped to become new sports minister. Honorable Neil Ate Vanderpoel. Kofi Adams.
At this school.
Our good friend, Mr. Benunu Mensah.
Is it what? He's level 2.
He's level 2. Muftau, dear.
Yeah, I can't. The rest is from
Muftau. There is no 2, it's only 1.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get more. We'll get more. You see, why do you think so?
Because.
Well, no, you just said Neil Ante
will. I don't think Neil Ante will be sports minister.
Because?
The president has to satisfy a lot of MPs. And NDC this time have won so many seats.
Uh-huh.
And we know a big percentage of his appointees would have to come from parliament. He has to satisfy that. Uh-huh. And in doing so, he has to satisfy regional caucuses and what have you. Yeah. Neil Ante Vanderpoel, this term is not in parliament.
That's one.
And that, I think, goes against him. So I think
is it that alone or also because...
I think that's the first thing.
There are... Also, ministers already from Greater Accra.
No. So that's the first thing that goes against him. And now, because he's not an MP, and he has to satisfy the regions, I think that he goes around and I think he misses out. I think that goes against him. That's not because he's not a great.
No, of course,
it's not a competence issue. Politically, it goes against him because he's not an MP and because NDC have got so many parliamentarians.
You said that it's level one in your opinion.
Yeah.
But Muftau said there were two. But if you were making that decision, who would you prefer? This is a personal choice.
If I was making a decision, I would prefer Neil Ante Vanderpoel because of where we are as a country in sports. He's got experience, and we saw his style when he was there for the period that he was there. I think we need somebody like that.
Radical.
Somebody who can cut the expenditure, somebody who can keep people on their toes, and somebody who's not necessarily only been a minister.
Radical. Ante's.
Yeah, people say he's ready. I think
Neil Ante is coming, then the class will be quiet.
I think Neil Ante's approach. Neil Ante's approach was a lot more of common sense than book, and a lot of things he said was purely common sense.
No, like, I agree.
100%. Like, yeah. It's not the book long people. It's
literally what you and I sit here to talk about.
It's what the average person will speak on the street. That is what he was doing. That was why people loved him.
Yeah,
I would go for him, but I know politically, his chances are slim.
Mustafa, is there a way?
Extremely slim, very very slim. In fact, before I posted the Kofi Adams thing, one of the things someone told me was the fact that constitutionally the president will need to have ministers that will satisfy that regional balance we are always talking about.
Yep.
And that one alone affected Neil Ante Vanderpoel. He was penciled for a minister of youth and sports, and all of a sudden there was no one, is it from the which part of the region, that's why they went and mentioned Kofi Adams.
OT. Yes. He's from OT.
So they likely going to be Kofi Adams as a minister for sports and recreation.
And yes, to be fair, you know, like the guys have said.
And in fact, I was also, there was lots of scheming around in that very position.
Scheming? You mean lobbying? Yeah, lobbying.
Every position has been lobbied for.
He used the word scheming. Okay, I want to change it to lobbying.
Okay, so it's lobbying.
Let me explain, then we'll know if it's scheming or lobbying.
Based on the message that I read, the word used was scheming.
Thank you.
Okay, so the point is that apparently the president is someone who doesn't like to be lobbied. If you're lobbying him, I guess you are lobbying for something you will not get. So many of the people, because they know him, they've tried to sit in their corners
and wait for him.
And wait for him to decide who he wants to occupy which position. If you realize that you're lobbying for it, you're off.
Yeah, there's some psychoanalysis that has to go into
so many things.
If you are lobbying and because of that you're off, you're not a big boy. you don't have powers behind you.
You don't have clout.
Sally, if Palace, I'm not mentioning that, but if Palace calls John, let's say, you will tell us because Palace call, you don't go, what are you talking about?
You don't have power.
What are you talking about?
There was a certain interesting conversation.
Okay.
Right. Where someone said within the party, people actually feel that the president is keeping so many things to his chest.
True. Yeah. That's true. Okay. A lot of things are being
done. So right now you've extended your filler from GFA to presidency. Hey, moved out. Listen, all I can say is this, that bottom line, whoever becomes sports minister, we will root for you to succeed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if it's Kofi Adams, I know him. He loves sport. Yeah. He's a Chelsea fan. He was an ardent listener to our show when I was at City.
Yeah.
Premier League. He's a big Chelsea. He's always texting about Chelsea. So he does love sports and he knows the sport. Neil Ante, as for him, I mean, there's no need extolling his credentials anymore. You know, veteran broadcaster, commentator, MP, you know, former sports minister. So he's got it. If it is, in fact, the initial names that I saw, someone like Benigno Mensah as well was in the mix. Or I don't know if he's still in the mix at some point. You know, also someone. Yeah. So look, I would say that genuinely, that the names that I saw penciled down for sports minister actually impressed me.
Yep.
Because every single name on that list was an accomplished sports person.
Yep.
So whether it's Benigno Mensah, what he did with weightlifting, now GOC, whether it's Neil Ante, we know his story, Kofi Adams, or even Prof Dodu, as you mentioned. You know, bottom line, whoever comes, listen, you've got a massive opportunity. This is what I would say, that the new sports minister has, by a faithful design, does not have a Black Stars tournament in the next year and a half. In this country, Black Stars tournaments tend to be the undoing
of many,
of
ministers.
Many sports ministers.
That's true.
From now until at least 2026 summer, there's no Black Stars tournament.
But there's Black Queens tournament.
Nobody chops money at Black Stars. There's the money is not enough. It's not. You see, they don't put the money there first of all. It's their black star. So that's why I said, by faithful design, they have a good opportunity. So what it means is that in the next year and a half, you have the chance to focus on what's really important in our sports. And as you mentioned, one of them, regulation. And I'll add the other one, development at the grassroots level. Bring back school sports, make it effective, make sure that selections to our various national teams are regularized in such a way that we have a consistent source, because you cannot tell me that we can have an under 17 footballer who has never played for a secondary school before. Where did you get him from? If he was good, we would have seen him in the secondary school intercompetitions among his peers. This is what we need to do. Sit with the clubs. Forget the GFA. Okay? Forget the GFA, the new sports minister. You want to find out the real problems of our football? Sit with those who pump their money in. And I'm not just talking about Premier League clubs. Sit with club owners. Mm-hmm. Ask them, what do you want? You keep shouting about tax exemptions, but what are you bringing on board? Back to Achu's point, regulation. If you want us to give you tax exemption, then you must satisfy these conditions as a football club. And then we can help you. You understand? We want to pay, the NDC said they want to pay a stipend to the footballers, Ghana Premier League footballers. Clubs must be given conditions that they must satisfy in order to be able to access that money. Or else some of them, they can even give them the money. In fact, they can start giving them that stipend and they'll stop playing the players. So they stop paying the players altogether. So a lot of work has to be done. Concentrate on, for over the years, we've overly focused on promotion. And the promotional aspect is, let's take this team here, let's take that team there. Everybody has forgotten about the development aspect of our sport. And that has to change. The new sports minister, there's no blasters to distract you. You've got a massive opportunity to do this. And the ideas have been shared here by the guys. We've dedicated a full episode to what this NDC administration must focus on in order to bring our sports back to its best. We can send you that episode to listen. I don't want the guys to repeat themselves. From partnering, converting secondary schools into sports schools, select secondary schools into sports schools of excellence, whether it is, the ideas were shared here, plenty. Be a listening minister and do the work at the grassroots level, and the people will applaud you. But if you come and make yourself a GFA minister, the fire, no, it will begin from this very studio. A word to a wise. Yes, thank you.
There was one point we didn't add on that episode. Let me chip it in.
What's that?
The new ministry must look at a way of taking the management of our national teams from the Football Association, because I have no hope in them that they are capable. They failed overly, like consistently.
Expand that point. I'm willing to give you time.
So I'm saying that. Let the GFA as it is manage the Premier League. It's so huge they are unable to. Adding national teams to them
is too much.
It's too much. Mm. So the ministry that which funds the national team should find
pays
a way,
all their coaches.
Pay all their coaches and everything, should find a way of managing the national teams who play games in between months. So they should have a national teams department, management department at the FA, attached to the FA, who would manage the national team.
And report to the ministry.
And report, like, that's
okay, some. So, Ministry of Youth and Sports should create a national.
Yes, youth
of,
yes.
Sports and Recreation.
Yes, Sports and Recreation. Yes. Yes.
Hey, yes. Somebody will slap me.
Yes.
Ministry of Sports and Recreation,
yes,
should create a national team department.
Yes.
At the ministry.
And then they
hire staff.
Hire staff, and then they can add a part of the FA, so they can
get the FA. They have to collaborate.
They have to collaborate to the FA, but it will be managed by the ministry.
Yes.
Because FA are suffering. It's not like they can't do it all. Like they are not, they don't have the capacity.
They are incapable.
So they need help.
Mm-hmm.
So we want the ministry to help them because they've been failing. And I've
after all, the ministry, the GFA always says that the ministry spend their own money, isn't it?
Yes,
they just hire your own people.
Just hire your own people.
But friend, do you know the FA rather began steps to take charge of the management of national teams away from the ministry?
Which money? Do they have money?
these conversations started with Mustapha Youssef.
But they have been doing it. Which aspect of it do they want to take away from?
They want to, they want to take charge of the management of the national teams.
Why management?
When you say take charge, they're already in charge of management.
Hang on.
Let him explain. They want them. Just say they want them to give them the money to pay themselves.
So
right?
what? The proposal that the FA put forward was the fact that when they take charge of the management of the national teams, one, they will now take responsibility of charging for tickets at the gates at every single match. That's one. Two,
at venues that they don't own, at venues that the country built. They want to. Okay, go on.
Two, they will now begin to finance the activities of the national teams.
So don't collect the gate proceeds and then now use that to fund the
national
teams.
So they now want to be in charge. And they started this conversation with Mustapha Youssef.
That's an interesting proposal.
So we're also proposing to the new sports and recreation minister that we should also start activate the means to take the national team management from them. Collaborate with them. They are suffering. That's why they've been failing.
All right, guys. This is Game Plan. Send me your message 055-111-1997. 055-111-1997. The show is proudly sponsored by Petrosol Platinum Energy and Betway. Betway, we've been there. You've placed the perfect multi-bet and it's all going your way until it's not. And one or more picks let you down. Well, with Betway's Bet Saver feature, you can win even if your bet misses. Even on multiple losses, you can get your bet back and more. Bet Saver, exclusive to Betway, get way more. Terms and conditions apply. Did you guys see today? There's a news article that Shatta Wale won what? 3 million Ghana cedis Aviator.
Yeah.
Just the rest of us, you know.
I you say you no go pan.
The point is.
But why? God keeps making the richer people richer.
That's
because
the point.
Shatta said he has money.
Money attracts money.
Anyway, guys.
Shatta for sure the boys the way.
He has to show us the way. Yeah. He show us the way. Don't worry. He show us the way. You situation. Somebody for slapping.
No, it's not this issue. What the hell are you talking about? It's not this issue.
This part is brought to you by Petrosol, energizing dreams. And Petrosol, your trusted provider of clean fuel in full quantity, is thrilled to announce that we've been adjudged the winner of the overall National Best Quality Company Award at the AGI Ghana Standards Authority National Quality Awards event. Of course.
But in this time,
this achievement wouldn't have been possible without the loyalty and trust of our valued customers and supportive stakeholders. Thank you for believing in us. At Petrosol, we are committed. Plan is 23 minutes after 2 p.m. in the studios of Joe FM at number 355 Fanofa Street, Kokomlimli, Accra. Courage Koforidia says, in my opinion, they should add national twerking competition to the recreational aspect of the sports and recreation ministry. People are... Danike, why are you shouting over this?
Have you ever seen the NFL, the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yes.
You've seen some before?
Yes.
New Year's Day, Beyonce did some. Did you see the backup dancers?
Yes.
Do you think people are paying money to only see Beyonce?
You see the cheerleaders.
Do you see the cheerleaders? You see, you people, you see the team, but you don't understand it. Courage is in the spirit. Courage is in the spirit. But Fent. Fent.
Yes.
You know, this is actually Shatta like uncle. You know, easy.
Where did this come from?
Where is this coming from?
Wait, that. How did we jump from NFL to
if Aju buys ice cream for your son, he says thank you, Uncle Aju. You know, it's like it will fit him.
But how did we jump from NFL halftime shows to me?
No, I was saying that when I was turning, then my eye caught you. Then I said no.
But you look like a proper uncle.
You know, J Uncle, Uncle Aju.
I pray I get Uncle money.
All right, guys. Listen. let me tell you a bit more about this as well, okay? The 49 Swag Awards is happening next week, okay? And we are partners, all right? The Sports Writers Association of Ghana Swag, on behalf of Ghanaians, will honor and celebrate Ghana's sporting excellence at the 49 Swag Awards in Accra. It's on Friday, January 24, 2024. That's next Friday at the Accra International Conference Center. They sent me a message that I should come for tickets. DK, are you a Swag member?
Yes.
Moved out.
I'm a Swag member.
I don't know, I should come for tickets.
I've not seen that. My phone is not with me, so I need to check.
Oh, God.
No, you are getting tickets because
of...
That's why your message came early.
Because I've
bro, if you don't win that award, they should cancel it. Ah, lobby.
What are you saying?
Last year, the year under review.
Last year, 2024.
The year under review.
Yes.
Who do pass you?
See, this is not Ballon d'Or. The Ballon d'Or, they will cheat and give you. This one is clear.
It's on the body of work.
Mega tell you something. See, Fentu, you be Fentu. You are the Fentu.
Yes, I am.
See, Fentu, the job you do last year.
But my dear man,
the Olympics you go cover.
Relax. Start from the top.
I want to be something nobody got to say to do some.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I understand.
No,
they start from Africa Games. No, because
African Games was the beginning.
My guy, African Games.
Hey, the commentary, Duomo.
No, you know. Hey, no, you know. In this Ghana. We are Ghana.
Yes.
There is no athletic commentator in the country.
Not one.
The last time I heard, we are Ghana.
No athletic commentator in the country. So when the communication came that we should gather people to broadcast the game to the rest of
you
Africa,
were in the thick of the decision making.
Then they said we need a commentator. Oh, so you have been new guy. I said no. My commentary be special. It's football. When it comes summary for football, I go kill him. But if you want someone to do athletics. Look no further.
That's right.
The name is Fentu Tarif. Yeah. And like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm betting everything on it. He's the guy.
And I'm the guy.
I won't even bring him to the mornings. The morning allow people to do it.
Because he's you know,
late afternoon.
The peak sessions.
The final.
Fentu Tantino. Fentu, you were brilliant. No, it's not like we're honest. Like, you were brilliant. Everybody said it.
Yeah, I mean, the feedback was good.
Then you went
to Paris.
Say it again. Then you went to where the country has named. I can't pronounce it. I don't have the tongue. You need some saliva behind your tongue.
Before Paris, crowd. We went to the blue seas of the Bahamas.
Bahamas, a shock. Can you see all of that?
Thank you.
The one that enter me be say, of all the journalists in the world. Now listen to this part.
I'm listening.
In the world,
yes.
Nobody. Nobody.
Thank you.
Covered the Olympics.
Yes.
The athletics.
Yes.
Than your platform.
Thank you very much.
When you wanted information.
Thank you.
When you wanted. And understanding and breakdown.
You go to Fentu.
Bro, we finished the 100 meters where the thing, the time, this thing. Everybody talking stories. Somebody say being toe. Somebody say serious. Somebody say no bending head.
Right.
People they report things. You go Fentu to enjoy sport. No, it's sport there. So for me, last year, you know, be saying my bro, if you shine, you shine.
Yeah.
But last year, Fentu, the year in the review, unless Swag wants to get a reputation of being Ballon d'Or. We know where it's going.
That big exclusive.
Michael. Massa.
Yo, but see,
no, the work is there. You see, it has reached the point.
You know what?
You can't overlook.
I was having doubts, but after everything,
doubts, humility. In fact, you've done it more than anybody. If you don't win it, the job they've done past everybody.
They gotta tell you something. Did you watch the Globe Awards?
Uh-huh.
You watch the Globe Awards?
Yes.
You see, they say this award goes to the greatest goal. They don't mention the name of where the guy get up.
Yeah.
They don't mention names of
him. Get
away straight to jacket. That's how we
win the thing.
When they say the winner of the 49, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Go there. Simple. Who was for the name?
Oh, sorry. No one winning now, but Tanasia. Right now, you're.
They will go tell Kanye West. Call the two for the state of
Massa. Anyway, the theme for this year is. Muftar, are you not nominated?
I am.
Muftar is nominated. But will you Muftar himself
Masa, this is why I check like Vinicius then Bellingham. The establishment has chosen this one. So we will push you next year.
No, Muftar, he win one already.
He won
already.
So this is why I defend to
you. What say?
Now they are going to say somebody won't do some things.
We don't like allegation. The theme for this year is gold and glory. We don't want ideas.
I hear.
We don't want idea.
I hear somebody
to
do something.
Wait, I don't want this idea. Let me finish my LPM, okay?
Please.
The theme for this year's awards is. You see the theme for this year's award?
Gold and glory.
Yeah, what
is it? The theme for this year's award cry, it fits. Gold and glory.
You went on African Games.
Who did you buy the gold?
You went on African Games.
I pick it. Maybe people do like this where I know win. I don't go come here for a week.
No, but
on a serious note too, post the elections, there are many of our friends and brothers we've not heard from.
Like,
I don't want to mention it, but if you don't win, you never visual up here.
Anyway, gold and glory.
But have you noticed that the speed with which some people respond to messages and answer calls has changed?
Of course, since of December course. 8th. That's another conversation situation. Actually, it's not easy. This year's theme is Gold and Glory, a call for change in national orientation and investment in sport. The prestigious and longest running awards event in Ghana, the SWAG Awards, promises to be an unforgettable night of glamour, excitement and celebration of Ghana's sporting achievements. The event will bring together the country's top athletes, coaches, officials and sports enthusiasts to recognize and reward excellence in sports. Come, let's celebrate our sports legends like never before with performance from Familia as well. For tickets and sponsorship, contact 0244-280-802. The 49th SWAG Awards, another time to celebrate and honor the best to inspire the rest. The 49th SWAG Awards is powered by the Event Factory and supported by the Multimedia Group. I think it's only fair that in talking about the Sports Journalist of the Year Award that we mention all the others who are also nominated because they are all our colleagues. Muftar.
Yes.
There's you. There's me.
Bright can come
there's
with
Bright
you.
Can come with
Bill Eshen.
Bill.
Kelvin Owusu and Sam.
Kelvin.
Fifi Anaman.
Fifi Anaman.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's a wonderful list. Fifi did some wonderful piece on, what was that one on?
He wrote it on about the Juju something in the 1960s. Yeah.
Well, fantastic writer. Bill told this wonderful story about the amputee high jumper. Bright is bright.
Bright can come with
you. He's been doing aura, this. Aura. Yeah, he's got a lot of aura. Then there's Kelvin.
Kelvin always answer, yes.
Then yourself. This guy was the one who exposed the GFA people for under declaring the World Cup.
If he wins the GJ Journalist of the Year. No?
Sicho, you've said many times that you don't want to talk about Chelsea, but the slump at the moment is worrying, and it's not the first time, especially under this coach. What kind of reputation is that? Where is that coming from?
It's worrying who?
Me.
The question he's asking us is as if he's angry.
But seriously, though, is there reason to be worried?
He has personalized.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, take me through it. Riddle me.
The Premier League is different from the Championship. The Championship, you can bounce back easier than the Premier League. The quality is different. Teams peak at different times of the season. Mm-hmm. And maybe you might not have enough time on your hand to readjust. By the time you are done with that, if you're not quicken up and your players have lost their confidence in some respect,
mm-hmm.
you might not be able to get it done. I think the reason why I think it's worrying is that minimum Chelsea should have been, or Chelsea should be finishing in top four,
mm-hmm.
based on how they started the season. But we've said it. I don't think there's anybody who listens to this show who isn't a Chelsea fan and who listens to us, maybe as a neutral, who will be surprised even when Chelsea were winning, we did say that these moments were going to come, and when it came, we're going to be interested in how the club was going to respond. And this is why I think the Chelsea problem is. Mm-hmm. Chelsea started the season with absolutely no pressure or whatsoever. Like,
yeah.
Nobody knew what kind of season Chelsea were going to have.
In fact, they said if anything at all, it was going to be a bad one.
Yeah. Everybody was expecting Chelsea because they had an inexperienced manager and an inexperienced squad, brought in new players. So nobody really knew what Chelsea were going to be. And for many, a lot of the Premier League team, they didn't also expect Chelsea to show the kind of promise they showed. So Chelsea had a very good start to the season. But this is a Premier League where managers are very quick, or teams are very quick to figure out a team that is doing well.
Okay.
And Chelsea, for a large part of the first half of the season, were top three. Which means that every other team was going to be looking at what Chelsea are doing and how they can get the better of Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea have been found out. I think that Enzo Maresca's system and style that he's playing has been found out, because when you look at the
first, is this all on him though?
Not
because
all.
I'm looking at, like, for example, a performance that we saw from Jackson from last weekend. I mean, how do you blame a manager for that?
Well, it's not like this is new to Jackson. This is Jackson.
It's also that.
That this is Jackson. Like, this is the squad that he has. But the reason I say Chelsea have been figured out is that they concede way too many chances than they would have at the start of the season. And the Chelsea problem is not the number of goals they are scoring or the number of goals they are not scoring. They scored 41 goals. Only two teams
have, at some point, they were the highest scorers, actually.
Yeah, I think only Liverpool have scored more than Chelsea. It is a sheer number of goals they let in. You're almost certain Chelsea are going to concede in every game. But that is largely because of, like I said, how Chelsea has gone about spending their money. You can't spend $1.4 billion over 2 years and not have...
And in January, be looking for...
Yeah, and not have a reliable goalkeeper, not have a reliable centre-back partnership, still look like you are shot in the middle of the park, still look like your striker is not what can take you to the next level. And that is why I criticize the spending of Chelsea. Because, like I've just said, if Chelsea had a spine of some experienced top-quality footballers, the story might be different. If Chelsea had a better goalkeeper than Sanchez, and Chelsea had world-class centre-back, Chelsea had another experienced midfielder, and Chelsea had a proven goal scorer, that spine alone, and every other player who is available now is around them, the Chelsea team is completely different. Right? But Chelsea didn't go by that line. Now, more shocking or more worrying for the coach is...
Defensively, I was going to say that, do you think that maybe we can cut them a bit of a slack because they've had some injury issues?
It's not about it. I don't think it's about the injury issue, because Chelsea have replacements for almost every position.
They've been forced to recall Chalobah because of that.
Yeah, but no. The reason why Chalobah is coming is because Disasi is not trusted by the coach. He's going to be selling him, because Disasi can play. There's Tosin. They've got Liver Cowell. That is three, and he's normally playing in with two centre backs. So It is not necessarily that all their centre backs are. I think they've got two of them who are injured.
Yes,
I think Fofana they've got Fofana, and everybody else is available.
Yeah, but they actually to his head.
Yes,
but he wasn't playing anyway.
No, but they actually wasn't always starting.
He wasn't even playing. He was playing conference league.
There was a moment where he played a string of games, but to be fair,
no more than three. But
the point is, he's
not
bad.
So it's not the injury to the centre backs. It is about the quality of the centre backs the coach has, and that is a problem. In the middle of the park, it looked like Lavi and Caicedo would work. And then now, some way, Enzo has come in again, some way. Palma is great, and he's brilliant in moments and spells. But I still think we are yet to see, especially this season, a full 90 minutes high quality decision making from Palma. He's going under the radar because he'll pop in with a goal, a lovely pass here and there. But there are long spells in games that he goes missing. And I know people are not picking it out. Even this that I'm saying, people are going to, but that is the truth. And teams are now also beginning to realize that if they can keep him quiet, Chelsea suffer. Because not many players in the team are creating. Even though they have decent chances to score, apart from Palmer and a couple of others, not many are creating. And then your man is not scoring, Jackson. He's not scored in the last five goals.
Yes.
In the last five games. And he has chances.
He gets chances.
He gets chances to score.
And he goes through this spell where he scores a lot in a short space of time. Then he has this spell where he goes missing for... Yeah.
Chelsea's reliance on Jackson.
So that for me is that, and again, we also know before it comes, Renato Vega is there. He's a centre back. He can do a job at left back. He's a centre back.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear the excuses of Chelsea. Like, they've got players.
But they're moving him out too.
He's not happy. He's not happy for the bit part role he's playing. Kunku is not happy. The couple of players, you know, Chukwuemeka is not happy. Yeah. Those guys are not happy. So for me, it is the inexperience of the team and the inexperience of the manager that have come together now. And the very time Chelsea started slipping was when all the eyeballs got to Chelsea. And I tell you what, it was in the weekend where had Chelsea won against Everton,
they would have gone top.
They would have. And I think I discussed that thing with Danny before the game, that this Everton game would test Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And that disappointment has continued. Like, after not winning against Everton to go top, they've not recovered from that. And it happens to young teams, inexperienced teams. And we don't know if Chelsea are going to come back to any consistent form that we saw them at the start of the season. But we'll see.
Actually, before you come in, there's a message from Sadio Adamu. He says, look, if the proposal being alleged by Muftar regarding the FA's decision to take full control of the management of the national teams is approved, be sure the national teams will collapse in just 1 year. The GFA cannot finance the hotel, travel and bonuses of one national team for a year, not to mention 9 teams. This is the type of greed that pushed government out of football after the 2005 coup that ousted Nyahotama Close administration. Interesting point. 055-111-1997. The Chelsea fans, I want to hear from you. Why is Chelsea struggling? How can Maresca get the team back to winning? Actually, you wanted to add something before?
The Jackson thing, I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. But the reliance on him just goes to expose the cracks in the planning that Paul Wayne Stanley and the other man, what was his name? The two technical directors did for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Jackson is growing at his pace. Mm-hmm. He is not the kind of player who you would expect to give you 25 or 20 league goals a season. He's not that kind of guy, but he will grow. Unfortunately for Chelsea, they need Jackson to grow at their pace, not Jackson's pace. So this period where the goals have dried up, Chelsea cannot afford it. That is the problem. But that is not Jackson's problem. In their squad planning for the season, look, I get it. Your project is important to you, but the requirements for doing well in the Premier League and in the context of making the Champions League or winning the Premier League or at least challenging for it are not going to change because you have a project. If you fall short, you fall out of the bracket of teams who are competing for the title. Mm-hmm. So if you look through all of the teams who have won the Premier League or have challenged for it, you can identify a very high scoring team with goal scoring responsibility shared without maybe one central figure, but only one player spearheading the attack. He's the one reliable player, and then all of the other players chip in. Or you have a team with one center forward who scores a lot of goals. Your wide players contributing a minimum between 25 to 30 goals in goals and assists. So it can be 10 goals and 5 assists or 5 goals and 10 assists from each flanks. One high-scoring midfielder. So if you look through the Man City teams that won the league from Manuel Pellegrini to the last Pep Guardiola team, you would find Yaya Toure and the center forward, both of them combining to produce between 30 to 40 goals. That takes care of the lack of goals from wide areas. Kevin De Bruyne's era, in fact, in the Kevin De Bruyne period, we had him, we had Aguero, and I think in 2019, Raheem Sterling hits all-time figures. That has been the template. If you go back to even the club team that won the league, you had Salah, you had Mane, that. Before then, the Chelsea team that won the Premier League and all of that. This Chelsea team is all about two players in terms of match-winning ability. It's all about two. So it's just Cole Palmer and then Jackson. And you see, the Jackson thing can be very frustrating because you see the assist he gave Cole Palmer for that goal.
Brilliant.
Look, there are not many forwards in the world, even among the elite or the so-called world class, who will be able to pull that off. The sort of things he was able to pull off in that, 2 second strength.
He scored minutes later too. The one right in the bar.
Yeah.
Charlie, that thing is sweet. So people say that assist, the world class players don't go do.
Oh, bro. No, bro. The spin away from.
I don't. You see, Jackson confuses me.
Yeah, he's a good footballer.
He confuses all of us.
He confuses me a
lot.
See, he's just not natural.
He's a poor finisher. See, that's why I'm saying that football. After the first year, Winstanley and the other man, I can't seem to recollect his name, should have profiled him and realized that this guy is not going to become a 20 or 25 goal a season striker in the next year.
He can.
So let's find he can, but not within a year. So let's find someone, maybe two or three players who can combine and give us the sort of goals that will maintain us
But Gui is
wasn't coming. That the purpose of bringing in people like
Gui? Gui. Gui.
He's going in the Conference League, but not in the league.
I think Enzo Maresca is also not trusting some of the squad players enough. Yeah, player like Joao Felix has got, especially with the way Chelsea are playing now. He's got, he can be very, I know he's not.
Joao Felix himself, can he be trusted?
No, yeah,
I've never seen a more talented player.
He doesn't even trust himself.
I'm telling you.
So what I'm saying, he deserves, but he deserves a lot more of game time.
Whenever he does well in a low profile match and they bring him on for a big game that really matters, then he disappears. This is his problem.
When Felix hasn't played well as well, especially in this Chelsea team, the whole team hasn't played well. You see, it's not a Felix. That's why a player like Madueke is not firing these days. Sancho came, he had good spells, he's not even Neto hasn't.
Yeah.
So Joao Felix can't be any worse.
He can't be singled out.
And when you play Joao Felix, you are making a mistake of trying to use him like you use Neto or Sancho. Right. But I'm saying the current problem that Chelsea face with the way Nicolas Jackson is playing, you need at times they should try the Joao Felix and then Palmer around those half spaces.
Maresca was asked about this specifically. He says he plays in the same position.
No,
as Palmer.
No, and that is what I'm saying. The manager is not being.
No, my issue with the draw Felix thing is what we are talking about. I don't think he's the solution because you need the numbers. Mm-hmm. And draw Felix, and we know him. Draw Felix and Kamal Dean, those guys, they are called dazzlers.
Yes.
They are called dazzlers.
Exactly.
They'll give you plenty. But no work done.
YouTube highlights.
They need to do anything.
Highlights reels.
So then go dazzle. There will be a Sulia. There will be some nice stepovers. Be some nice 1-2.
So one go in between.
But the goal, no, the assist, the killer pass, no, it won't come.
Is that not Neto and Madueke and Sancho?
No. And that's what you are complaining about. So how is he the solution? That's the point.
Just
come and do the same.
The reason is I think that of all the wide players that they've got, he combines a lot better with players around him than any of them.
And how would that produce the numbers?
The problem Chelsea also face is, like in the game against Bournemouth, when Bournemouth were leading by 2-1 and they sat a bit deep and Chelsea couldn't carve them open. When the game was end to end, Chelsea were creating this and Jackson should have scored.
Yeah.
But when teams have started to sit a little bit against Chelsea, because Jackson's a player who, with his pace, can get in behind people, and that is where when the midfield, the box is crowded. They don't, unless Palmer produces the magic. Yeah. I'm saying there are moments in those games where Joao Felix can be very important.
What if I told you that there was a game like that, so tailor made for him against Ipswich?
No, that game was
Felix was played for that purpose. Do anything
because, like I'm saying, because Felix was coming from very wide. It won't work.
So play him closer to goal.
Have you seen how he plays in the cup games or in the that's
sorry,
that
the conference
tournament?
League.
No,
conference league.
It's a cup game.
Yeah, that cup game in number one. Have you seen? I'm not saying you produce the same numbers in the Premier League, but have you seen the way he plays in those tight spaces?
Okay, so just vary his position.
I just think so.
To be fair, if I'm facing Noah, I miss if I go bang hat-trick.
The team's name is
Noah.
I saw something on Twitter. They say Noah. No, how did he tell the kangaroos in Australia to come enter
the ark?
And then the elephants
That wasn't Noah's job. It was God's job. He controls the animal world.
He
bring them. He create them. He bring them.
Somebody say how he bring all the mosquitoes come enter. He chance to kill the last mosquito.
If the premise was that, how did he? Then it's a wrong premise. It be God to bring them, so no one will go.
But Noah was in the ark with the mosquitoes, the snakes, the scorpions.
Yeah, he was there with everything.
Of what useful contribution is a mosquito to our habitat?
Do you live in every habitat? The human habitat is different from the animal world.
The human habitat is different from
it's different from
you know fair enough.
I said fair enough. You're not listening to. I said fair enough.
Yeah.
Tell me the contribution of mosquito to the other habitats they live in.
If a chameleon is hungry and they pull the tank, what do they catch?
Not mosquito.
They catch mosquitoes too.
Insects.
Mosquitoes, they inside. I know one.
Mosquito is mama. Its name is literally Amos Quito. First name is Amos.
Amos. Amos.
Yeah, we know them. They're Quitos.
There's a vivid lacuna. This is a message from who is this? He said there's a vivid lacuna between Joy Sports and the others. Keep up the good work. He's the same guy who came to tell us last week about Achu's introduction of the word to him. And I'm sure he's learning to use it himself. All right, I've got more messages here. This one is from Nito Joy Nita. It says, it's good we have the main sports and recreation ministry. You've moved to... Anita, what are you doing to my message box? What is the meaning of this? Leave me alone. Thank you. Nito just says, it's good we have the main sports and recreational ministry and you've moved to a completely different ministry. All right. Thank you very much for that. I've got another message here. And this one says, he says, this season we are not buying the Danike and Sitcho. Will you keep quiet? I'll put your mic off. Cove Town Babe says, this season we are not buying the injuries excuse. Last season Man United were heavily affected, but no one cut them a slack. Arsenal have had injuries. No one is cutting Arteta any slack. City, Spurs, and so on. Chelsea fans should zip it. They should just pray they finish top four. Otherwise, it will be bloody. Cove Town. Babe, thank you for your message. Chelsea fans, we hear you, eh? We hear you. This one says, hi, Fenn, I'm enjoying the show. Please ask Sitcho if Ernest Nyoma can succeed at Everton. That's a message from Stanley in Achimota. And then this message says, Fenn, I agree 100%. This is Bernard from Adam. I agree 100% with Sitcho. Over reliance on the Wonder Boy is killing us, and I'm sure you're a Chelsea fan. Many games, he will go missing for nearly the whole game and still be on the pitch while Felix is on the bench. Moreover, I think Palmer doesn't trust Jackson on scoring, so he doesn't pass him the ball a lot of the time. That's an interesting message as well. Somebody asked a question. I think Ernest Nyoma has been linked to Everton, not for the first time. I wonder if that deal will go through. Sitcho, you two will have to stop whispering, because every time you are whispering while I'm talking, then it is entering the microphone. One day you insult somebody and it will go on air.
We never insult anybody.
Yes, but one day you say something inappropriate.
No, we are sharing ideas.
We are sharing ideas.
That's why we give quality.
Are you sharing ideas on the question someone just asked?
What's
yes, it's not Ernest Nyoma.
That's what we're doing. We're just discussing it. How it was going to be used then under Moyes.
And I'm listening.
So we thought he can be a fit for David Moyes. Okay. Ernest Nyoma carries the ball well. He's quick enough. He's got some tricks up his sleeves. David Moyes' Everton will not be an expansive team. We know that they'll sit deep and they'll try to counter. So it's natural abilities that we've come to know. Well, when there is space for them to counter, I think he can do it. What he has to improve then will be his final decision making, picking a pass, crossing, shooting. And I think under Moyes he can improve that. We saw what Moyes did to Bowen. Yeah. Yeah, Bowen came in. We knew he had a talent, but Moyes added a lot of that to him. We even saw
Starboy
Mohamed Kudus under David Moyes. And so I think that Ernest Nyoma can work well under. If it was under Sean Dyche, I'm saying some way.
Yeah.
That improves is because Sean Dyche's ball is going to go long, crossing, very long
and very central.
Yeah, so you wonder where he fits. But under Moyes, I think there's a place for him.
Even when Lampard was there, they were linked to him, right?
Yeah.
Kudus as well. Yeah. Everything. So they've always been keen on
Gattuso. Which club was he going to join that he went to hide? No?
Fulham.
Yeah, Fulham. But I missed the opportunity, in my opinion.
Yeah. Fulham would have been a good. Yeah, yeah, it would have been. Yeah.
Didn't hide. He left his phone. So he was going for it. And when he came back, the deadline.
You have story for everything.
Oh, true story. Charlie, the Frimpong guy, he laughed for there, no? The Frimpong guy, he tapped there, he laughed.
Danny K. Listen, Man United, are you back?
Oh, relax. Relax. No, but yesterday, sexy play ball. Sexy play ball. Yeah.
Hey, Radio Tony, sir.
Relax. that again. Please.
No, but the guy, be careful. Anthony is a case. No, you can't. How do you miss that chance?
Make feel bad for him. Like, I'm actually feeling
bad.
You
know, I actually forgot that he's still there.
No, but I think it's rustiness.
Yesterday, when he missed the chance, all three of us were... No, the two of them were looking for who missed the chance. The moment they saw the guy lying on the floor...
No surprise.
No, but see. United is still... fundamentally, the team is still poor. But I always say this thing, you see... It is always important to get results while you're trying to fix some of these problems. Because confidence is a very good thing. And it would have been very painful if United had dropped points in yesterday's game on the back of the very impressive performance and result against Liverpool and then Arsenal. So United needed to build on that. And for me, to be frank, I wouldn't have asked for a more perfect way of winning this game. Mm-hmm. Back against the wall, 1-0 down, Kamal Dean, super missing chances, excellently done. And then in the last 10 minutes, Ahmad comes up with a hat-trick. It gives, these sort of victories gives belief. When you are not doing well and all of a sudden something picks for you, it tells you that it's working. Small, you can get there. So, for me, I've written off this season. But it is in terms of trying to win something big. But it is important for Man United to at least, and the players who will be involved next season, to properly understand the manager and the system. And then in the summer, when they're able to get one or two players to augment the squad, then you can start looking at competing next season. So it was not the best of performances, obviously. It was a very poor performance. The number of times he allowed Southampton, the poorest team in the Premier League. Southampton has 6 points, too.
He won one game.
6 points, the whole season,
Kamal
points.
Kamal Dean should have done better.
Oh, it's normal. That's Kamal. Like, that is Kamal Dean. And in fact, move away from Mane. Very frustrating watching him for my Ghanaian lens, because the guy has talent, but he's not improving. And it's very frustrating. Look, I said this thing here 2 years ago, if you remember. Faisal was in the studio with us. Yep. And after I said, if Kamal Dean doesn't take care, we'll be sitting here, he'll become like Adama Traore. Mm. Like that almost, he has everything, but the brain work, the decision making, when to pass, when not to pass, when to shoot, the accuracy of the shot. And to me, these are things that can be taught at the training ground. That's what annoys me, players like Kamal Dean and Jackson. Mm-hmm. Because you can't teach a player instincts, but you can teach him how to finish. Jackson is always in the right position. He knows where to move to get the ball. Like, there's a reason why he's missing the chances that he's missing. He understands the box, but he doesn't know how to put the ball in the back of net. Kamal Dean knows how to dribble. He knows how to get past his defender. He knows how to where to shift, where to pick up the ball. But when to pass, when not to pass, when to shoot, how to get that, that's the issue. And I feel if he invests more, it's a big issue, because these are all things that we hear the great players. They invest a lot of time training these small things, which comes together and makes them much better. And to be frank,
how can you be comfortable as that?
How can you don't play all the time, especially when you're not playing too?
No, I think everybody has what motivates them. The fact that he's a professional player placed in the Premier League.
Is earning good money.
Mm-hmm. You want that? Because, yeah. Look, I've spoken to somebody who knows him from Rice Dream. It's like, he's a good talent, but he really does what the coach says. He plays on his own. He plays his game in his own head. And at the highest level, it's only a matter of time before coaches are like, we can't take this.
Yeah.
But yeah, we wish him all the best.
Achu, the Ghana Premier League first round is coming to a close this weekend with some interesting games. First to sixth is separated by 2 points.
Yeah.
And that's a very tight one at this stage of the season.
The unlikely
leaders are Heart of Lions, obviously, at the top. Ibiani Gold Stars, both teams have 30 points. Then you have Kotoko, and all of that. That just went on there, I told you. So,
he's fooling, that's what I was saying.
So this weekend, Accra Lions take on Gold Stars, Kotoko face Vision, Chelsea take on Medeama, Hearts of Lions are home to Nations, Holy Stars are up against Ejana Stars, Lagos Cities welcome Dreams FC, and Swatreman, they play host to Karela United, Hearts of Oak go to Samatex, and Bechem United go to Young Apostles.
I think it's the first round is ending much stronger than I thought. Mm-hmm. Usually when there's talk of a title race, it's in the final 5 or 6 weeks of the league. But this one, first to sixth are separated by... The teams that have won the league post-COVID have done it with an average of 62.5 points. Yeah. four out of the six teams are on course to reach half that average at halfway stage of the season. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the people who the league belongs to, make it a point to promote your products. There's something in there.
Thank you.
This is the game that Dreams FC, the coach, the referee.
Thank you, Achu. Thank you, Danny K as well. And thank you, Achu Tamo Klomufta and Abila Abdullahi. My name is Fento Tahiru Fento. This has been another episode of Game Plan on 99.7 Joy FM, 103.9 Hits FM. The show is brought to you by Betway and Paytosor. It will be available as a podcast on all podcast platforms and also on YouTube on the Joy News YouTube page. That's where we upload the show. We're back again next Friday. Until then, enjoy a weekend full of sports. My name is Fento Tahiru Fento, and I'm out for now. Up next is the BBC World Service.